Do you like the WYXR archive you're listening to now? Well, we need your support to help keep it going. Go to WYXR.org and donate today.
Art Center in Oxford, Mississippi.
When you're feeling way down low, got no place to go, can't call a lover, can't call no friend, can't find a so-and-so, put your
Thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at the Powerhouse Arts Center right here in downtown Oxford, Mississippi. Fine show for y'all tonight. We've got Allie Duer is here this evening, one of our favorite vocalists and songwriters. Yeah, she is so great. From Jackson, Mississippi, she is here joining us. Also musically, we've got, get ready, y'all, Secret Monkey Weekend. I can tell y'all are all huge Secret Monkey Weekend fans, where you're going to be after this. And no, it's not that kind of band. You think, oh, it's going to be a bunch of punks with a lot of weirdness going on. It's actually a dad with his two stepdaughters. They're wonderful. Now, how they came up with the name, we'll have to ask about that. And also, our author today, as I mentioned, Susan Gregg Gilmore, is here with her book, The Curious Calling of Leonard Bush. Quite a novel, quite a story. Her buddy Belinda Smith, a fine songwriter, is here, who's also going to play a song based on the novel, so that'll be cool. But we've got this house band up here. We love them, y'all. Y'all, please bring them to the stage. It is the best live radio band in the land, the Yellow Bushwhackers.
Pretty
Yellow Bushwhackers, y'all, one more time for them, please. Ricky Burkhead, Slade Lewis, Keon Love, Brady Reese on the guitar, and up front there, that's Paul Tate, our band leader and arranger, the Yellow Bushwhackers, one more time, please. Yeah. All righty, Allie Doerr, thank you so much for being here from Jackson, Mississippi, a fine songwriter, fine vocalist. Some of the releases include What You Living For and the song Keep Fighting. I love that one. Keep Fighting, I believe, is included on the soundtrack of the film I'm From You. And you will hear in Allie's voice and presentation all of the influences, including jazz, gospel, and R&B and soul, as you might imagine. We love her. We love having her on the show. Y'all love her, too. Please bring her to the stage. Allie Doerr, y'all.
Oxford, Mississippi, at the Powerhouse. This is my first time here, but I'm so grateful to be here, y'all.
Don't let it go, don't.
so glad to be here. Yes, that was one of my original songs. This song you all should know. It's by James Taylor, Shower the People. And I wanted to give this song back to you guys. Just an offering of love. You can play the game. You can act out the part. Even though it wasn't written for you. Tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart? Shame my playing the fool. One thing can lead to another. It only takes sacrifice. Father and mother, sister or brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Shower the people you your foolish pride when you're all by yourself alone. When you tell somebody the way that you feel, you begin to feel at ease. I think that it's true what they say about your squeaky wheel, always getting at ease. So called Keep Fighting, and this is a song just to persevere, and a song where it releases all of our worries. This is my goal. The goal was to release the worries and the stress and the anxiety. And I'm from Jackson, Mississippi. I would love to be back, and I'm so grateful to be here once again. You are a great group of people, and I love you guys so much.
Thank you so much. Allie Durr, y'all. Thank you, Allie.
Keep fighting. Great song. Thank you so much. Allie Durr, y'all. Thanks for being on the show, Allie. Like to remind you that you're listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. You're hearing us on WUMS, University of Mississippi. Also WYXR, Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. WUTC, Community Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you, Chattanooga. That's right. That's where our author is from today. Yes, Chattanooga. Yeah, absolutely. We're also heard on the stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, the stations of Alabama Public Radio, WUOT Community Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and KNCE True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. Love all of our listeners. Also, would like to thank our sponsors, Dr. Stephen and Gay Case, the good folks at Delta Magazine, Larry and Michael Johnson Family Foundation, the Mississippi Arts Commission, the Mississippi Hills Heritage Alliance, Pearly Peacock Designs, the R&B Fader Foundation, the good folks at Square Books, y'all. Square Books. Best bookstore in the world, maybe? Visit Oxford, the folks at Volunteer Mississippi, the good folks at Wonderbird Spirits, the Yaknamatapa Arts Council, and the good folks at Snooki and Mary Lou Williams Foundation of Water Valley, Mississippi. You too can be a Thacker Backer and keep this show rolling right along. More information is at our website, ThackerMountain.com. KeonLove.com. You're the man. Thank you. All righty. Susan Gregg Gilmore. Her novel is called The Curious Calling of Leonard Bush. It is from Blair Publishers. It is, as I say, it is a novel. A 12-year-old boy loses his leg in East Tennessee and decides to have a leg funeral and buries his leg and invites the townspeople, and they come, and we have a leg funeral. But then the plot sort of takes off from there in ways you can't even imagine. But luckily, Susan did. Y'all please welcome Susan Gregg Gilmore.
Thank you.
The Curious Calling of Leonard Bush. So this 12-year-old lad suffers a somewhat of a freak accident with his foot, gets infected, and in your novel, he has to have his leg amputated.
Right.
And the repercussions, how his mother responds, how his dad responds, how his friends respond, makes up this novel. And it is really, really wonderful. And I thought, man, you may be the greatest writer ever. And then I found out where you got the idea from. Now you're only the second greatest writer ever. There really was a Leonard Bush. He really did bury his leg in real life. And you found his funeral, his gravesite.
Yeah, I did.
Tell us about that.
Okay, so I was teaching at the Appalachian Young Writers Workshop in Harrogate, Tennessee. I don't know if y'all know where that is. It's where Tennessee, Virginia, and Kentucky all come together. And so I wanted these kids to write about a human character, because if I didn't encourage this assignment, they'd write about zombies all week, and that's just not where I was going. So I marched them up to the cemetery the very first day, and I said, from the clues you can gather from the landscape and a tombstone, you have to develop a character that you're going to work on all week long. There was one tombstone that said Leonard Bush's leg, 1923. Not one kid was impressed by that.
These kids.
I know. I could not shake it. I took everybody up there to see this tombstone. Took my friend Belinda, who was teaching songwriting at the same camp. I just thought it was amazing.
No, when you come across a tombstone that says Leonard Bush's leg, yeah, that gets a second look.
Yeah.
And these kids are missing the boat. Put down the TikTok, kids, and get with this leg thing. So you did research, also interviewing psychologists and people that work with prosthetics about the physical and the emotional repercussions of a
right, not only for the child, but for the entire family. And interestingly, we were talking about this backstage, but most of the prosthetists that I talked to said it was really the hardest for the mother, even more so than the child.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She birthed the child whole and just cannot stand the idea that
in her mind, my character's mind, June, that her, you know, sweet Leonard is less than perfect.
Yes. So in your novel, June is the mother, and tell us about June. One thing I would say that everybody, I know that woman. When she's stressed out, she cleans the house.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you go over there, it generally smells like Clorox.
Right? Yeah, I kind of do that, though.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I have a really clean house, because if I get anxious or if my novel's not going, my writing isn't going anywhere, I'll clean, because, you know, you can stop, you can start and finish, and you have, you know, a finished product that you can be proud of. A novel takes a really long time, but mopping my kitchen, you know, 30 minutes.
And speaking of taking a long time, you took some time on this book. How long did you work on this?
12 years. Yeah, man. That was exactly the way I felt 12 years.
You've got this little boy and his amputated leg on your mind for 12 years.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of really drafts in there, too. I mean.
Oh, wow. Thank you, FCC.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that.
No. They're trying to pull the plug on us anyway. Because go ahead and. Good reason.
Dang it.
They're peddling smut down there. One of the fascinating aspects of having an amputated limb, and those of you who have read about this or have a friend or loved one, is this phantom pain.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might wake up in the middle of the night and your leg is bothering you, but it's not there.
Yeah.
You also went into, you asked folks about that as well.
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's a very real thing. And Leonard talks about this too in his novel. This, you know, he knows it's not there, but sometimes at night he can almost, you know, believe that his leg is still there.
Yeah. Who was it? The novelist had a friend that woke up in the middle of the night. He had amputated leg, had this incredible tingling in his leg that didn't exist anymore, went into the garage. And there where he had kept the bone from the leg that got amputated, a raccoon had gotten into the box and was chewing on this guy's leg.
That's true?
How about that, FCC? We're going to go down. We're going to go down in flames, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
All right. June cleans the house when she's stressed. She takes Leonard's...
Yeah, we were talking about June, yeah.
She takes... I'm sorry. She takes... really takes it hard.
Oh, she
the
does.
Husband is Emmett. He's a kind of a good old boy. He's a dairy farmer. And he's more like, come on, son, we're not going to worry about this. You're just going to...
Yeah. Well, they both have, June and Emmett both have a lot of trauma and loss in their own lives that was never resolved. And June is one who just continues to grieve and worry and fret. And Emmett's one, you don't talk about it, you move on. And so they approach this loss very differently. But it's actually Leonard's, the loss of his leg, that brings them to healing ultimately.
Yeah, and as it turns out, I believe this is on the back flap. We don't want to give away too much. But suddenly, folks in the town come to Leonard, wanting him to bury something of theirs that they need to get over.
So, you know, the town sees this 12-year-old boy move on so beautifully from what they think so beautifully from the loss of his leg, that one by one they start to bring them their trinkets of guilt, shame, woe, grief, and they want Leonard to bury them in the cemetery in the exact same way that he buried his leg. As Leonard said, I need a preacher, some praying, and a bit of hymn singing. And that's what they want for their
And people
loss.
Bring whatever it is that's making them feel guilty. My favorite one may be Marie Pearson. She brings a romance novel up there and says, would you please bury this because it made me feel tingly. And I'm pretty sure I may have sinned on pages 235 to page 245.
I forgot that, yeah.
That's the best. And then there's a guy at the feed store who brings a hotel key. He was cheating on his wife. And then he comes a second time with another key. And a third time.
Yeah.
Come on, man, you can't keep bringing these keys.
Yeah, even Leonard was like, no.
Yeah twice maybe,
yeah.
But come on. We've just scratched the surface of what this story is all about. It is a story of family, obviously, but also of forgiveness and maybe admitting you were wrong and forgiving people. Ooh, those are the two tough ones.
Yeah.
Admitting you were wrong and forgiving people.
Yeah.
So... Boy, if you read this book, you will be in the mood to do both of those things.
And if you can't, you clean.
There's always a baseboard that's got some funk in it that you got to get in there
and get.
All right, we want to hear the song. We want to hear some more about this book. Thank you so much for writing
it.
It is a beautiful, beautiful
Thanks.
Book. I encourage everybody. It'll put you in a good mood. And it's all in East Tennessee, so it's sort of a milieu we all know something about. The Curious Calling of Leonard Bush, y'all. Just a beautiful book. Again, we're going to hear a song from Belinda Smith, but y'all again welcome Susan Gregg Gilmore.
Susan and I got along immediately because she took children to a graveyard.
which actually, Belinda, they called it a death march, which was an obvious pun. But, you know, for them to have to walk even a half a mile, they felt was...
Yeah, I knew we were going to be friends when you took them to the graveyard. So, all right. I'm going to go straight out of the gate with this one, but real quickly, I'm sorry, at your cemetery is down the road and up the hill, and I think it was a walking path, but I thought it was a driving path, and so when you try to back out, it's really, really difficult, and so I'd like to apologize to any of the pedestrians that were very upset with me. There's a story people tell about a town in Tennessee. About a boy named Leonard Bush who cut his leg in Sugar Creek. Mama told him not to go. Daddy said that he'd be fine. But some things you don't know till you cross the fishing line. The dirt still flows through the hourglass of time. It's half full, half empty. You get to decide. But that burden you've been carrying won't let you move ahead. You can leave it on the mountain with Leonard Bush's leg. That one more time, because I want you to pay attention to the perspective there. No matter what happens, it's about how you make it feel. The dirt still falls through the hourglass of life. It's half full, half empty. You get to decide. Well, those burdens you've been carrying, they won't let you move ahead. You can leave it on the mountain. Leave it on the mountain.
Interestingly, the Leonard Bush's body is buried on the other side of the highway, and I've learned since then.
Yeah.
So, in fact, several members of his family reached out to me after they heard that this novel was coming out, which I made very clear is nothing about their Leonard, but that's how I learned they actually had a lot of similarities, that they both lost their leg at 12, they both cut their foot, one on barbed wire, one on glass. And
aren't you, like, kind of related to them if you go back? Didn't you tell me that?
I think it's possible. Which would really be incredible because, yes, they had an odd family name that we have in our
Bush
tree.
I didn't know that part, so I would clarify for all of us.
So you never know, you know, in East Tennessee.
True. Yeah.
So
true.
It's quite possible. But
So one of the things that I think is interesting, though, is that you took that stone. I mean, and who wouldn't? Who wouldn't have? And what happened in that is that we were, Tennessee Humanities hired us to work with young writers. I think she mentioned that. But we were writing in such an area in Appalachia that it was really interesting for you to bring out like their stories and then also tie it to something positive in that graveyard. You want to talk about that?
Well, I mean, it was just to get the kids to focus on a character, a human, as I said, and not something, you know, that was more zombie-like. They really did start diving into their own personal stories. And, you know, they brought, for to be so young, they carried a lot of pain. And I think that...
And one of the other fun things about that entire week... Okay, number one, we have to move into the college dorm, and plastic mattresses are just not within my experience in my life. But where the main classes were used to be a sanatorium. So maybe that helps you understand how Susan and I are a little bit insane, but still cool, you know.
Yeah, it was a wonderfully productive week for me because I never could shake that. I mean, never could shake that story. I'd actually been working on another novel for an entire year, which is part of the 12 years, you know. And then when I sent that to my agent, along with 6 pages of this Leonard Bush that I just jotted off before I sent the email, she wrote me back and said, forget that first book. This is the book you need to be writing.
And then so, you actually kind of, you come from like sort of an old-timey Helen Brimstone. You were both going to get in trouble with FCC. That's in the Bible. Fire and Brimstone Church. And I think that you've always, I mean, you tied that in really well with the characters.
I do come from that. I mean, like a lot of us in the South, I mean, I've got, you know, the grandfather who was a revival bred, you know, fire and brimstone preacher. And so that those issues of grace and atonement, those surface frequently in my work. But, you know, when you've been in a church service on a Sunday for a good 30 minutes waiting for somebody just to go down and commit their life to God, Christ, so you can get out of there and go on.
How many times did you and your sister do that? Did y'all count?
Oh, we would rededicate our lives, you know, just about every other week, just so we could get on.
That's one of my favorite stories about you all.
Yeah, so nothing like a good altar call. Yeah.
So I was
but
saying.
But
that,
out of that, came my friendship with Belinda and the curious calling of Leonard Bush. So thank you.
Thank you.
Susan Gregg Gilmore and Belinda Smith, y'all, one more time. Susan will join us after the show at the table and sign your copy of The Curious Calling of Leonard Bush, again from Blair Publishing. Quite the story, quite a novel, really well done. Thank you so much for writing it, Susan. A lot of fun. Hey, and speaking of fun, what could be more fun than a secret monkey weekend, ladies and gentlemen? That's right. Hey, what'd you do Thursday night? Well, as a matter of fact, I kicked off Secret Monkey Weekend at the Powerhouse on Thacker Mountain Radio. Secret Monkey Weekend? Wait a minute. What is that? Is that some kind of crazy punk band? Well, no. I don't know. Y'all might be crazy, and you might be semi-punkish. Who knows? If you're in a rock and roll band, there's got to be some craziness involved, right?
We have a lot of dog hair on our shirt. How's that?
Wow. I'm telling you, this show just keeps on giving, baby. And by the way, Secret Monkey Weekend comes from a 1967 Tiger Beat magazine where they had a contest where you could win a Secret Monkey Weekend to hang out with one of the monkeys. Yeah, one of the 60s rock bands. So they saw the cover of the magazine, and one of you gals said, now there's a band. Now you came up with it, Secret Monkey Weekend. All right, a really great story here. The young lady's dad passed away. Their friend was giving them guitar lessons, and suddenly Jefferson is in the family, marries their mom, and they become a family band. A beautiful, beautiful story. Actually, the basis for a film that won an Emmy for the Southeast Documentary category about Secret Monkey Weekend. So, I mean, the story just gets better and better, and the music gets better and better. The new album is called Lemon Drop Hammer. Y'all, please welcome Secret Monkey Weekend.
Thank you so much. We're from Durham, North Carolina. It's a little bit of a drive for us, our first home to Mississippi. We write about what we know. Like I said, there was dog hair mentioned. This is a song about one of our cats. Her name is Merida.
Wake up, love, Merida, please, the girl.
Thank you. This song is one, we write our own songs, but this one is one that Ella wrote. She was feeling kind of down. Her grandmother had passed not long before, and she had this graduation party, and everybody just lifted her up. So she went from despair into feeling so much joy, and that's what this song is about, so much joy. Tune for this next song, but I'm going to set it up and then Ella can take it home. Their dad was a musician that I played in bands with, and he died young at age 42, sudden heart attack. Community, you know, chipped in and helped the family out, made them feel loved, appreciated, kind of helped them along for a little while. At some point, Ella needed guitar lessons, so her mom appointed her to me maybe the next year. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when their papa died, she was 9, Lila was 4. So Ella will pick up the story from here.
Yeah, so after that, you know, Jeff really started to become a very important figure in our lives, and eventually he fell in love with our mom, and we became a happy family. They married in 2015, but, you know, we were having a good time. And then one day, Jeff said, you know, hey, you know, I know you're not into guitar anymore, but do you want to still try music? And I said, I want to try bass. So we did, and we played together. And then Lila said, hey, I want to join this too. And we had drum kits, because my dad was a drummer. So Lila hopped on back there, and we started playing as a band, just for fun originally, but then all together as a family. So this song, Things You Threw Away, is about if you've ever lost somebody and you have to go through their things after they die, it can be an emotional experience. In my case, I cleaned out my dad's shed that had been untouched for many years. And, you know, there was some really good stuff in there that I decided to keep, but there was also a lot of garbage in there. And I thought, you know, even though this is garbage, it was his garbage. I want to keep his garbage. So I started writing lyrics, and Jeff helped me finish the song.
When I'm unraveling in the past, I see that a lifetime would have never been enough. We had only a fraction of that, but just things help me to paint a picture. Things you threw away. No matter what they say, turn me into
Secret Monkey Weekend, y'all. One more time for them. Secret Monkey Weekend. Great tunes. And a great story, man. That is so beautiful. Thank y'all so much for being here. We've had a wonderful time. We appreciate y'all being here to share it with us. One more time for all our guests, if you don't mind. Allie Durer, the great Allie Durer. Susan Gregg Gilmore. The Curious Calling of Leonard Bush. She will sign copies after the show. We appreciate Belinda Smith also playing for us. And one more time for Secret Monkey Weekend. I do recommend that PBS documentary on them. It is really wonderful, really well done, well shot, very professional, and of course it won the Emmy. I will caution you, though, when you Google Secret Monkey Weekend, as I have repeatedly leading up to the show, you get some strange stuff in your feed after that, ladies and gentlemen. So just letting you know about that. We love y'all. We appreciate it. We're going to get one more from this cool band. And guess what? We will see y'all on the radio. I hope.
For myself, with a woman like this, I don't need nobody else. She got half a dollar inside of her head. She chews tobacco and she dips her stuff. When it comes to love, she never gets enough. Feel a real life mama, keep her for myself.
Radio Hour's executive director is Lucy Gaines. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front of house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Grinder Tabor Grinder Commercial Construction Contractors is proud to support the 2025 Raised by Sound Festival. As the builder of Crosstown Concourse, Grinder Tabor Grinder supports WYXR's shared goals of building community, whether through the music we enjoy together or the spaces that bring us together. More information at grindertabor.com.
You gon' look just like a monkey when you get old. You gon' look just like a monkey when you get old. Well, I can tell by your knees you've been climbing a coconut tree. You gon' look just like a monkey when you get old. You gon'